Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8. Prayers by Queen Kunti. Text 45. Tambadham ityupamatriya pravishya gajasavya sriyascha swapuram yasyan premna vagya nivalita. Translation. Thus accepting the prayers of Srimati Kunti Devi, the Lord subsequently informed other ladies of his departure by entering the palace of Hastinapur. But upon preparing to leave, he was stopped by King Yudhisthira, who implored him lovingly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. No one could make Lord Krishna stay at Hastinapur. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Haribol. No one could make Lord Krishna stay at Hastinapur when he decided to start for Dwaraka. But the simple request of King Yudhisthira that the Lord remain there for a few days more was immediately effective. This signifies that the power of King Yudhisthira was loving affection, which the Lord could not deny. The Almighty God is thus conquered only by loving service and nothing else. He is fully independent in all his dealings, but he voluntarily accepts obligations by the loving affection of his pure devotees. Tambadham ityupa mantriya pravishya gajasavayam sriyascha swapuram yasyam premna ragya nivarita. Thus accepting the prayers of Srimati Kunti Devi, the Lord subsequently informed other ladies of his departure by entering the palace of Hastinapur. But upon preparing to leave, he was stopped by King Yudhisthira, who implored him lovingly. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastityadesh Tarni Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatra Livyas Chakripa Sindhir Vyavacha Paditanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Yes. So this is one of the most wonderful parts of Krishna consciousness. And it is such a wonderful part of Krishna consciousness because Krishna is so wonderful. Krishna is so wonderful as a person. We all know so many people. There's so many people in our lives. of different types with different relationships, and many of them are very nice, and because of that we feel a bond with them, but none of them, at least particularly, on the material level, ordinary people with material bodies and material consciousness, material minds, none of them, even the most wonderful, cannot compare to Lord Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna? The problem is, people are not aware of that. There are different people within this world who are trying to, you could say, promote Krishna, sort of advertise Krishna, something. Yes, Krishna has his men and women around, and they are just propagating him just as in business. There are people who advertise and market and present different products, or in politics we see around as we drive different advertisements. MMM is doing something. Mr. Béranger is up to whatever he's up to. He never gives up. And Krishna has his people who go around and advertise, you could say. However, some of them do not advertise very nicely. Some of them do not advertise in such a way that the proposed market, the people who are meant to be the ones who might be inspired to accept Krishna based on how he's presented, some of them don't present him very nicely. For example, some of them, they advertise him that watch out for him, you must fear him. You must be afraid of him. Be careful. Others go around advertising that, you know, he's nice, but he's not a person. He has no form. One of our devotees once was, actually it was the same Kusha Krata, maybe a few of you were here the other day, we mentioned him, with a born-again Christian. This was now with a Jehovah's Witness. They were discussing about God. And, you know, yeah, God is so nice, and they're both saying God is so nice. And Kusha Krata, the devotee, he said, yeah, God is so beautiful. We have very nice pictures of him. And, oh, he is wonderful. And the Jehovah's Witness said, what? You have pictures of God? No. You can't have pictures of God. No one's seen him. How can you have pictures of him? And Kusha Krata said, well, how do you know no one's ever seen him? Did you ask everyone? Going back in history? Everyone? What makes you think no one's seen him? And so there's this little back and forward. And Kusha Krata is saying, oh, he's so beautiful, we have these nice pictures. And then the Jehovah's Witness said, the thing is, If you see him, you'll die. And Christian Crowder said, really? You mean he's that ugly? So, and then others say, yeah, he exists, okay, but he has no form. He's sort of, you know, intangible. He's not a person. And just imagine what, well, just consider, what sort of way is it to promote a person? It's just, first of all, it's very misleading anyway, but still, who, what person in their right mind is going to become attracted to a person that you're meant to be afraid of? How are you going to really develop an attraction to someone who you're meant to be afraid of, and if you're not careful, the person's going to smash you and crush you? And we're meant, how can you develop love for such a person? It's not possible. At best, you could be very respectful on your best behavior and, you know, that sort of relationship. But such a relationship is never going to be very deep or meaningful. It's certainly not going to capture the heart. It's just not possible. And what to speak of developing a loving relationship with a person who's not a person? You know, the Prabhupada said that it's something like developing a relationship with the sky. How can you develop a loving relationship with the sky? It doesn't compute. It's not like, you cannot really bring it to that point at all. You might have, and people have, some sort of appreciation for the sky in certain terms, but an actual loving relationship with the sky, it's not possible. So in this way, Krishna's advertising department in this material world, his PR department, is not doing a very good job, really. And in many ways, they're turning people off. And then different groups, they're sort of, you could say, advertising in different ways. Sometimes they fight with each other, and sometimes they really fight with each other, and it's not nice. And others, their only interest in him is in terms of what he can do for me. He must give me things. If he doesn't give me things, I'm going to reject him and find someone else. So what sort of, how can you have a loving relationship or any sort of decent relationship with anyone if your interest in them is only that you must give me things, and if you don't, I'm going to reject you? How can you have any sort of relationship of, you know, of any substance on that basis? It's not possible. It's just not possible. And as a result, people don't. And people are not interested. at least so many people, and they have so many reasons. And when I was young, I studied one British philosopher. His name was Bertrand Russell. He was very clever, and he wrote a book. Actually, it was a transcript of a speech. And that book was called Why I Am Not a Christian. Because, you know, he was British, and in those days, yeah. That's right. He gets the idea. In those days in England, there was only Christianity, and you couldn't really do anything else. So, yes. There's an interesting story some of you may have heard before. I assume I've told it before. There was a little boy living in Flack. And his name was, what shall we say? His name was Nilesh, shall we just say? Nilesh. So Nilesh, it was April, and Nilesh decided, I want a bicycle. Small boy. I mean, smallish. I want a bicycle. So he went to his mother. Mama. Ma. Amma. Mataji. Give me bicycle. Mataji said, Nilesh. Beta. Sunu. Listen, son. Christmas was already, a little while ago. Your birthday is not for some time. And on Diwali we only give sweets, but it is not Diwali either. So, and I've got no money. So you'll have to be patient. And later we can get you a bicycle, but now I can't give you a bicycle. But Nilesh, he wasn't very happy. Mata, everybody else has a bicycle. Why can't I have a bicycle? Why won't you give me a bicycle? And Mataji said, listen, Nilesh, go up to your room, kneel down in front of your picture of Lord Shiva, and pray to him, give me a bicycle. So up he went. So he knelt down next to the picture of Lord Shiva, and he was praying. Give me a bicycle, Lord Shiva. And he said, listen, Lord Shiva, I've been a good boy. Give me a bicycle. He looked around. No bicycle. Bicycle had not appeared. Then he remembered that he had not been a good boy. So he said, listen, Lord Shiva, I tried to be a good boy. Give me a bicycle. Looked around. No bicycle. Then he remembered that he had not really tried to be a good boy. So he said, Lord Shiva, I'll make a deal with you. I will be a good boy. Just give me a bicycle. And he looked around. No bicycle. And he got really upset. Listen, Lord Shiva, I am doing my job. I am asking for things. You must do your job. You must give me the things. Come on. Be a good god. You're meant to be a demigod. You're meant to give things, so come on. You got to do better. But no bicycle. So Nilesh, he went to the temple down the road, across the river. I think Lord Shiva's there, is he? Anyway, let's just say he is. And then he sat down there, he's looking at the deity of Shiva. and Parvati was there. And he's sort of, in his mind, he's just fuming, as they say. He's upset with Lord Shiva. That, come on, Lord Shiva. I say Om Namo Shivaya 5 times a day. Come on. Really? So, you got to give me a bicycle. Why are you not giving me a bicycle? It's very bad. Then he looked around. The priest, as usual, was not around. He grabbed Parvati off the altar from next to Lord Shiva, grabbed her and came running back and went upstairs and put Parvati down on one side, knelt down in front of Lord Shiva and said, listen, Lord Shiva, just listen. If you want your wife back, give me a bicycle. But this is what people think. This is what people think. They think all sorts of wrong things. And all sorts of faulty things. And if anyone intelligent thinks about these things, then they will think, why should I bother with this person? You know, all he can do is give me things, but apparently he doesn't give many people things. So what's the use of him? He's not a person. You can't have a relationship with him. So what is this? And you're meant to be frightened of him. So, you know, what sort of I can have a better relationship with just my friend. Just some ordinary person. I'm not afraid of him. Why should I bother with someone who I have to be afraid of? It's just only if I had to, maybe. So, but the truth is described here. The truth is described here. That actually Krishna is the most wonderful person. And Krishna will do anything for you. Anything you can think of. And many things you cannot think of. He will do for you. But you have to understand him, and you have to understand how to approach him. So here, very nice examples being given of Maharaj Yudhisthira. This is all happening immediately after the Battle of Kurukshetra. Immediately. It was just some days ago, something like that. The battle finished. And now Yudhisthira has become crowned as the king and established as the ruler. And everyone's settling down after that whole big disturbance. Krishna spent some time, little time, just seeing everything is properly arranged. And then Krishna, he has his family, his wife. He has his 16,108 wives and his children. So many. 10 children by each wife. So he's got all his children and then his parents. And they're all there in Dwarka. And of course, they're very close. So Krishna wants to go home, of course, after all that. He wants to go home to be with his family members. So here, Queen Kunti, just as Lord Krishna's getting ready, getting on the chariot, There's a picture. Queen Kunti is speaking these prayers that we've been reading to Lord Krishna. He's sitting in the chariot. He's just about to go. And Queen Kunti stopped him and spoke her prayers, which were very, very beautiful. But then Krishna, he felt, I want to go, I have to go. He's just about to go. Maharaj Yudhisthira comes and appeals to him, please stay a little longer. So, therefore, Lord Krishna decides, as Srila Prabhupada says here, he decides to stay for a few days more, not another 5 minutes. No, a few days more. This is really quite something, isn't it? A few days, just on the appeal of his loving devotee. So that indicates two, maybe many, but two very important and clear things. One, how merciful and affectionate Lord Krishna is, and how affectionate Maharaj Yudhisthira is. And well, then the purport of that would be, what a bond there is between the two of them, or you could say between the Lord and his devotee. Last night we were in Pitti Rafrei. You will be pleased to know Pitti Rafrei has been officially renamed as of last night New Jagannath Puri. We don't know if the government will get it, but at least we gave that name because we installed Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi in the temple. They're the official Yatra deities. So we told the story of Rath Yatra, the background. It's a long story, we won't go through the whole thing now. But in this regard, in terms of the depth, the strength of the loving relationships between Krishna and his devotees, that part is very interesting. It's described in Padma Purana, and there's a brief mention of it in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in one of the purports. What happened was, they had all met, Krishna and the Brijbasis, after many years of separation, they met again, many years, like 80 years of separation. They met in Kurukshetra at the big solar eclipse. So they met, very wonderful reunion, and then the solar eclipse happened, and they did what they had to do during the solar eclipse. Then the eclipse finished, and then time to go home. So Maharaj Yudhisthira told the Brijbasis, let's go, time to go home, back to Vrindavan. And the Brijbasis said, right, of course, let's go. But then they said to Nanda Maharaj, just one thing, let's just say goodbye to Krishna, and we'll go after lunch. And Nanda Maharaj said, fine. They went, said goodbye to Krishna, came back, had lunch. After lunch, Nanda Maharaj said, okay, lunch is finished, let's go. And the Brijbasis said, yes, we should go, we're ready, but just let us say goodbye to Krishna one more time, and we'll go tomorrow morning. So Nanda Maharaj, oh, all right then. So they did that. Next morning, Nanda Maharaj said, right, we should go now. And the bridge buses said, yes, yes, of course, we're ready. But just one thing. Just let us say goodbye to Krishna one more time. And then we'll go after lunch. We'll definitely go. So Nanda Maharaj, well, all right then. So then saw Krishna, said goodbye, came back, had lunch. And then Nanda Maharaj, right, let's go, we must go. And the bridge buses said, you're right, we know, we must go. But just one thing. Let us just say goodbye to Krishna just one more time. And we'll definitely go tomorrow morning. Oh, all right then. So they did that next morning. Nanda Maharaj, come on. Get your things together. Let's go. And the bridge basi said, yes, you're absolutely right. But just one thing. Just let us say goodbye to Krishna. Just one more time. So Padma Purana describes this went on for 3 months. And finally Nanda Maharaj is about to blow a fuse, have a nervous breakdown. And then the bridge busies understood, we're actually going to have to go. So they went to say goodbye to Krishna for the last time. But then they confronted him. Listen, so many years ago when you left Vrindavan, you promised to come back. But you never came back. So you should come now. Come with us. And Krishna tried to procrastinate. Are you familiar with this word? Yeah. Delay by speaking in some way. Somehow or other delay. Krishna, well, in South Africa they would say, Krishna would have said, yes, yes, I'm coming just now. In South African English, if you say I'm coming now, it means I'm not coming now, but I'm coming later. I'm coming now means not now, means later. And if you say I'm coming now, it means I'm coming quite soon. And if you say I'm coming now, it means I'm coming now. So anyway, Krishna said something like that. I'll be there. You carry on, I'll be there. Just as soon as you get home, practically. So the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, they told Krishna, listen, that's what you told us before, that you didn't come. So sorry, we don't accept it. So we are taking you now, meaning now. And they tied ropes to the chariot. And Krishna, they pulled him all the way back to Vrindavan. And Balaram and Subhadra. And Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra became so excited. They transformed into those forms of the Jagannath deities. So anyway, the thing is, I was meaning really the 3 months. But also, you know, they tied the ropes, they pulled him back to Vrindavan. He could have always said, well look, you take the chariot, I'll just get off. And not go, but he didn't, he stayed on the chariot. So, this is the loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees. And this is the essence. When you talk about God and us and God and what is it about and like that, this is the essence of it. And the other things, being afraid of God, it's not really a matter of being afraid of God. What you should be afraid of is your own stupidity to do stupid things which are going to bring suffering to you. Isn't it? You know, did you ever see a person put their hand in the door of a inner door and just deliberately hold it there and just go bang, close the door on their fingers? Or take a hammer, put their hand on the table, okay, and just go whack. Did you ever see anyone do that? Or just hit themselves on the head, bang. You don't really see that much. And anyone who would do that, any normal person would think, this person's crazy. This person's just completely lost it altogether. But this is what is happening. And this is what one should be afraid of. One should be afraid. Watch out. I have to be careful for my own foolishness. Otherwise, I am going to choose to do something which is going to cause me great pain. And, you know, how I really shouldn't do that. That we should be afraid of. And the fact that Krishna sees that you get your karma, that you get that suffering which you have created and which you deserve, has nothing to do, it doesn't mean you should be afraid of him. It's got nothing to do with what your attitude towards him should be or should not be. It's all about your attitude towards yourself, actually. But so the essence then is this loving relationship. And if we cultivate it, even from today, even though we are now in another condition where we're just not familiar with these things, and we really, our attitudes and understandings in many ways are very different, and even sometimes we may become offensive to Krishna. But still, if we start now trying, Krishna recognizes and Krishna appreciates. Even if sometimes we get a little sort of lose our focus a bit and, you know, somehow get drawn into something that is not conducive for the relationship. Even if sometimes there are lapses, but still Krishna remains concerned, interested, and tries. I was listening yesterday, to a recording of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, very beautiful book, which is available in English. And there, the hero, Gopakumar, he's a devotee, Gopakumar, he is going back to Godhead. On the way, he stops in different places to see what it's like. He stops in Vaikuntha, and he meets Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan comes and greets him and embraces him. I'm so happy to see you. I've been watching you for many lifetimes. And I've been wondering, each lifetime, I've been thinking, will he come to me in this lifetime? But then you didn't. And then next lifetime. And now I was thinking, maybe he'll come to me in this lifetime. But then you didn't. And then next lifetime. And Lord Narayan says, in this way, it was like I was dancing like a fool. When will he come? When will he come? Is he going to come now? When will he come back to me? And Lord Narayan says, it reached a point where I thought I am just going to come and take him. Qualified or not, ready or not, as they say, here we go, ready or not. Whether you're ready or not, I was just going to take you and bring you back because I wanted your association so much. But then I thought, no, I can't do that. It will be against the principles of religion because, you know, a person has to become a devotee and, you know, has to become situated in devotional service. And at that point, Gopikumar was not. So, but it indicates the affection of the Lord, the concern of the Lord. And He is watching us even today, even right at this very moment He's watching us. And He's thinking, what about this Vrajendra? When is he going to chant without offense? I mean, I know he's trying. Okay, that's nice. But, you know, come on. When's he really going to do it? And Reena, when is she going to just pull herself together? I mean, how long does it take? And he's thinking about all of us, not just all of you, but all of us, in precisely the same way. He really is. So this is the Lord. This is how wonderful the Lord is. And here we see with Yudhisthira, the Lord wants to go back to his family. And they're not just some family, they're all devotees. Actually, the fact is, they are greater devotees than Maharaj Yudhisthira. They're the inhabitants of Dwaraka. They're on a higher level than the Pandavas. They're on a higher level. First is Vrindavan, then Dwaraka, then Mathura, and Hastinapur. These are three distinct levels in terms of the devotees. So, but still Krishna delayed for some days. He didn't just sit down and have another cup of tea, but for some days he stayed, just because Yudhisthira asked him in an affectionate way. So this is the Lord. He's a very amazing person. And if we learn about him properly, who he really is, the type of person he really is, and how to really have a relationship with him, what you're really meant to do to develop a proper relationship with him, if you understand all these things, Then you can become inspired, and then you can actually make progress and really develop a relationship with him. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada made the point that Krishna, of course, he manifests in many ways, and one way is sort of like a judge to some degree, watching. And Krishna actually says in Bhagavad Gita, Upadrashtanu manta cha bharta bhokta maheshvara paramatmeti chap yukto dehesmin purusham param, that within this body there is another person who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as overseer and permitter, and who is the Supersoul, Paramatma. So Krishna is overseeing and permitting, allowing different things to happen, and not allowing other things to happen in terms of our karma, which we got because of our choices. But in that sense, his position is, in a certain sense, you could say, a little like a judge. He doesn't really have any personal feelings, maybe, towards the people in the different cases, but just in terms of the law, he says, oh, you get this, you get 10 million rupees, and someone else, you go to jail for 10 years. But it's not that he likes or doesn't like so much, it's just he's applying the law. So Krishna does that. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a judge in the court. In the court, you have to treat the judge very nicely. I don't know about here in Mauritius, but in England, it's your honor, and you're meant to bow down, something like that. Or your worship. In some places, you are not meant to turn your back on the judge. You have to walk out backwards. And if you know, if the judge makes a decision you don't like, if you're one of the lawyers, you can't just get up and say, hey, what do you think you're doing? That's stupid. You can't do that. Because then they'll make a case against you. So, but then when the judge goes home to his wife, does his wife say, your honor? And is she always speaking to him, you know, in totally, excessively respectful terms? Does she never turn her back on him? No, she... Anyway, you know better than me. But sometimes she may even get on his case a bit. Take out the rubbish. Why didn't you get this? I said to buy that. Why didn't you do it? Anyway, of course. Anyway, Hare Krishna. But and Prabhupada explained how he went to visit a judge when before he came to the West. He was going around selling back to Godhead. He went to visit one judge at work, and the judge said, come see me at home. So he went to the home in the evening, and he sat there and waited and waited, and the judge just didn't come out. Then in the next room, he heard some noises, a child laughing, a little bit of banging, and sort of something's going on. So Prabhupada opened the door, looked in. There was the judge on his hands and knees, and his grandson was riding on his back, and they were playing horsey. So Prabhupada said that Krishna in Vrindavan, so this is the judge at home. In the court, he does not play horsey. That he is your honor. So Krishna in Vrindavan, he is Krishna at home. He is Krishna at home. And home is where the heart is. And we see that in his loving relationships. Elsewhere he may be more official. He's never not just simply nasty. But he may be more official in Vaikuntha and how he runs the material world. But in Vrindavan, this is Krishna at home. And home is where the heart is. So, we mentioned the other night, I don't know if any of you were there, that once all the holy places gathered And they're all explaining how they benedict their worshippers to see which is the best holy place in terms of how we, when people worship us, who gives the most. So some holy place said, well, people worship me, I give this. You know, people worship me, I give them a second-hand Toyota car. And another holy place said, well, when people worship me, I give them a new Toyota. I'm better. So the holy places are trying to see which is the best holy place. And Prayag said, when people worship me, I give them a Rolls Royce. I'm the best. So he was crowned the king of the holy places, Tirtharaj, because he gives the most. But then he noticed, hey, and then all the holy places were offering respect, oh, you are Tirtharaj, you are the best, and so on. Then he noticed Vrindavan was not there. So he went to Krishna and complained that, you know, I'm recognized as the best holy place. All the holy places were worshipping me, but Vrindavan was not there. It was very disrespectful. And, you know, you should tell Vrindavan to come and worship me. And then Krishna started crying. And Krishna said, you know, Vrindavan is different. All these holy places, they're very nice. They're very valuable. I recognize them all. But Vrindavan is different. Vrindavan is special. Krishna was crying. Krishna said, Vrindavan is my home. And home is where my heart is, where the heart is. So it's special. It's in a different category altogether. So we should try to cultivate loving relationships with Krishna, even though our positions right now are a little mixed sometimes, not always pure devotional service. But even so, it's not that Krishna just kicks us out. Krishna tolerates that as long as we really continue trying to make progress in the direction of pure devotional service. We try to cultivate pure devotional service. Krishna accepts, and Krishna is merciful. So, and even ultimately, Krishna becomes controlled by the love of the devotees here. He's controlled by Yudhisthira. He's controlled by Mother Yashoda. Krishna, bring your father's shoes. Immediately Krishna goes and gets Nanda Maharaj's shoes. Krishna does not say, just hang on a minute. Listen, I'm God. I receive the service. You are the devotee. You do the service. So you get your husband's shoes. No. He gets Nanda Maharaj's shoes. Krishna becomes the devotee of his devotee. And in these ways, we should recognize, we should understand, appreciate Krishna, and try and develop a relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.